Hollywood Homicide Uncovered is part of the Dark Hollywood Collection in the Reels files on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Be sure to subscribe for new episodes each Thursday. Then go to Reels.com, check the top of the screen, and enter your zip code to find out how you can watch more chilling cases like this when you watch TV. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com for the dark crime series and specials you'll find only on Reels Channel.
He was a little rascal who grew up to be an on-screen tough guy.
Robert Blake was one of the biggest stars of America.
She was a pro hustler who'd do anything for money.
Bonnie Bakley sought to defraud and fleece and fool our Lily Mann.
When they meet, sparks fly.
They met at a party, and by the time he took her home, they were already undressing in the car.
But Bonnie's scandalous past soon catches up with her, leading to a bizarre murder.
I basically saw her die.
And it's up to a determined detective to sort out the truth from the drama.
I think I know what happened.
May 4th, 2001. Night falls on an otherwise unremarkable evening in Studio City, California, a quiet neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Sean Stanek, neighbor and witness.
It was about 9:30 at night. I was in the back room. I was checking my computer, working on my emails. And I hear this just incredible, frantic knocking at the door. So I would go over there, open the door, and I'm like, Robert? Blake? Like, what's going on? And he's yelling and screaming.
Sean Stanek was an area resident and had seen Blake in the neighborhood for years. But this was the first time they'd come face to face.
I need help. His eyes were dilated like black. I thought he was like on drugs or totally whacked. I don't know what he was just, he looked just whacked out.
Mugged or like,
and he's yelling, slow down. My wife's been beat up. We've been mugged or something. So I go, where is she? He's like, she's in the car.
Go over there and stay with her.
Then he goes, I'll be right back. And I go, where are you going? He tells me he's going to go to Vitello's, the restaurant, to try to find a doctor or a nurse. Okay. But here I am. I don't know what the hell to do. And I see the car. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? Like, it was just eerie. So I'm like, I'm walking towards it. I'm a little freaked out, scared. It was completely dark. And the only thing lighting that car was a lamppost from the back. I approach the car and I look through the window. And I see somebody slumped this way. I open the door and I pull her up.
Can you breathe?
As I pull her up, I just see that she's just massively full of blood. And she's gurgling, her eyes are rolling back and to the back of her head. I'm trying to elicit a response.
Come on.
What happened? Are you okay? But she's like, it was horrible. Meanwhile, Robert Blake has come back, but he doesn't come to the car. And he's yelling at me through the window. What happened to her? What's going on?
Oh, my God.
Her face is right here, and I see a bullet hole in her cheek. Oh, my God. She's been shot.
Come on, breathe.
The realization of her being shot has just hit me like a ton of bricks. Because if she dies, this is a murder. This is a murder scene.
My name is Sean Stanek. Do you know who the actor Robert Blake is?
Yes.
He walked up here and he's screaming severely. I know him from the neighborhood here.
Okay.
Get an ambulance.
Is he conscious?
Is he conscious, Robert?
No.
She's not conscious. She's
breathing.
Is she breathing? Yeah, they're coming. They're coming.
Emergency crews respond to Stanek's 911 call. They find a woman bleeding from the head in the passenger seat of a car. 45-year-old Bonnie Lee Bakley is rushed to the hospital. She's pronounced dead on arrival. Two gunshot wounds, one to the head, one to the chest. The LAPD has a new high-profile case on its hands. Ron Edo is with the Robbery Homicide Division, an elite squad of detectives. If anyone can piece together the murder, it's him.
I was notified that a murder had occurred in North Hollywood. All I knew at the time, it was that Mr. Blake's wife was murdered. My job is to take more difficult, high-profile investigative cases.
Hollywood, a playground for actors, actresses, screenwriters, and directors, all trying to make it big. But there's few larger than Robert Blake.
Mary Murphy, co-author, Blood Cold.
Robert Blake was one of the biggest stars of America. He came here and his first job was The Little Rascals, which is a famous TV show. But he did 70 movies before he even became famous. The first time Blake really caught the attention of fans was when he did In Cold Blood in the movie. He starred as one of the killers, Perry Smith, a demented, psychotic killer who had gone into a home and killed an entire family. Blake became famous, and then he decided to do a television series. He was Beretta the cop. Beretta was this tough, combative cop who carried a cockatoo on his shoulder. And when you said Robert Blake's name, everyone, even to today, say Beretta.
Now Robert Blake takes on a new role as a key witness in his wife's murder. And Ron Edo has more to handle than simply investigating a homicide.
My first thought was the media beat me there. There are cameras on, everybody's got eyes on this thing. And we're going to do a crime scene, probably covered by media.
All the reporters starting to show up. News vans, lights popping on. You know, there's a spectacle going on.
Celebrity homicide is different from any others because everybody's interested. Everybody's going to be eyes on to see what's going on with this case. And that's why it's harder to solve.
These are stories that people want to read, you know, who did it. This is the perfect tabloid media story.
Edo ignores the cameras following his every move and starts asking questions.
I found out that they were at the Tello's restaurant, Bonnie Lee and Mr. Blake. They had their dinner and they left. And he walked her back to the car. She got in the car.
Damn.
What?
I forgot something.
He apparently said, hey, I forgot my pistol revolver in the restaurant. I put it on the seat. I got to go back and get it. So he goes back to the restaurant, retrieves his revolver, and comes back to the car and finds Bonnie shot.
Immediately, Blake's story raises red flags for Edo.
It is very unusual for Mr. Blake to forget his gun in a restaurant. I mean, I've never heard of anything like that.
Edo asks Blake if he still has the weapon.
Yeah, I got it right here.
I look at him. He's reaching here, pulls out a gun from his back pocket, hands it to the police officer. And he goes, I knew this was going to happen. There's people after her. That's why I carry a piece on me. That's why I carry a gun on me.
Blake tells Edo there are plenty of people who might want Bonnie dead.
Bonnie Blakely was a pro hustler. I mean, she was a pro stalker.
Blake's wife Bonnie has a checkered past. Drug charges, fake ID, false credit cards. She's on probation in Arkansas.
Blake said the reason he was carrying the gun is that Bonnie feared for her safety. I mean, she really had seduced and built so many people that now she was afraid that somebody was out to kill her. She got money, money, money from men. Some men she never met, but the older ones who she met, she would marry. She'd marry them, and as soon as she married them, she'd have them sign forms that they were married and sometimes even sign their life insurance over to her, and then she would disappear. It wasn't necessarily her looks. It was something about her personality. She was an incredibly sexually seductive woman. She was seducing men all over the country. She was a master grifter con woman.
Blake worries that one of Bonnie's victims was bent on revenge.
Blake told the police that he saw strange people, a guy with a buzz cut, other strange people wandering around the house, and that he became afraid, too, that someone was out to get Bonnie.
Homicide Detective Ron Ito begins to uncover one of Bonnie's darkest secrets, a sex racket that crisscrosses the country.
She was a little shady person, I would describe her. Everything I looked at in her past, I uncovered a lot of problems.
On May 4th, 2001, the wife of Hollywood actor Robert Blake, best known as TV's Beretta, is found dead, shot twice. LAPD homicide special investigator Ron Ito is on the case.
I knew who Robert Blake was immediately when I was notified. I'm from his era. I used to watch his television shows, and I've seen his movies. He was the tough guy, New York cop, you know, had to talk, had to walk.
Blake had an intensity about him. You really believed that he was a dangerous guy.
Blake tells Ito he was out with his wife moments before she was killed.
When I'm thinking about this case, there's only two people there. One turns up dead, so Mr. Blake must have killed her. But this is just early thinking. I don't think I've ever shared that with any other detectives on this case. But I'm sure they're thinking the same thing I am.
According to Blake, he returned to his car from a local restaurant and found his wife shot dead.
Thomas Mesereau, Blake's defensive attorney.
Mr. Blake and Ms. Bakley had dinner at his favorite restaurant, Vitello's. Mr. Blake routinely ate at this restaurant. There was a dish in his name on the menu. He knew everyone there. Mr. Blake was carrying a handgun. He was worried that there had been strange people driving by his house, that Ms. Bakley was being followed. And Mr. Blake got into the car and realized she had forgotten his handgun.
Damn.
What?
I forgot something.
Policemen have routinely experienced the same thing. Policemen, as well as many other people, have often sat in restaurants, sat in chairs, booths, benches, whatever, and accidentally left their guns. Mr. Blake went to the restaurant. He retrieved the gun in full view of everyone. He walked back to the car and was horrified to find that Ms. Bakley had been shot to death.
Detective Ron Ito wants to know more about Blake's story, but lawyers are now telling him Blake isn't taking any more questions.
I did listen to Mr. Blake's statement to North Hollywood detectives. We were given that information that he was worried about some guy he described as buzz cut, and this person was watching his house.
Bonnie feared for her safety. She was afraid that somebody was out to kill her.
Murder seems like a high price to pay for revenge against a fraudster. Now Ito needs to know more about Bonnie Lee Bakley. Who would want her dead?
I did serve a search warrant at Mr. Blake's house. And that search warrant wasn't just for Mr. Blake. That was for the victim, too.
LAPD detectives arrived with search warrants at the home of Robert Blake and seized several bags of evidence they hope will help them understand the relationship between Blake and his wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley.
Bonnie did keep a lot of things that was unusual, I thought, letters and articles and recordings. She did have a dating service in these magazines, Lonely Hearts and advertising.
She would have been a porno queen of the internet if she were alive today. Instead, she was a porno queen of men's magazines. And mostly old men, lonely men, would call and say, I want to meet you. Can we get together? And she'd say, yes, I'll come to Wyoming. And then she'd call him back and say, my sister is sick. She has to have surgery and I can't come because I need to use the money to pay for it. Can you send me money? It was a very organized business with drop boxes, mailboxes, boxes of letters, boxes of pictures of her.
Bonnie Bakley had enemies all over America. She had wreaked havoc on families when she sought to defraud and fleece and fool L. Lily Mann. All of this was horrifying. And we felt there were people all over the United States who were angry enough to have committed a crime like this.
The LAPD dispatches investigators to Memphis, Little Rock, Las Vegas, and elsewhere to see if they can find out if one of Bonnie's jilted lovers was angry enough to kill her. But as Detective Ito's investigation continues, he discovers that Bonnie was working targets closer to home, Hollywood.
Bonnie wanted to be a star. She pursued singing and acting, but she had no talent. And so she turned to where she really did have talent, which is fraud, seduction, and conning men out of their money.
Ms. Bakley appeared obsessed with meeting a celebrity and becoming his wife. And Ms. Bakley was trying to land a celebrity.
And all this information was quickly on Ito's radar.
She was meeting older, has-been sort of celebrities.
In 1996, Bonnie lands herself a new man, a celebrity in his own right.
She met Christian Brando reportedly through her business. She sent him, you know, tapes of herself, photos of herself. Christian Brando was Marlon Brando's son, and at some point in his life, he had murdered his sister's boyfriend and had gone to prison. So he was a troubled kid, and Bonnie was attracted to trouble. She was attracted to troubled people. They got together. It was a physical relationship. It lasted for years. She loved him, and he may have loved her, but she was on the hunt. She needed money and fame, and she needed it now. And Christian Brando was never going to bring her that. He only had fame from his father.
Bonnie sets her sights on a bigger prize. 65-year-old Robert Blake.
Blake was such a target because he was old, his career was almost over, he was lonely, and there she was. I mean, Blake was living alone at his house with guns, surrounded by hanger-oners, and lonely. And Bonnie Bakley just looked at him and said, "You're the one, I'm going to come after you." And she did.
So how does Bonnie Bakley get what she wants?
Bonnie wanted to become pregnant, and she was sleeping with Robert Blake and Christian Brando. And she thought, well, it'll work out with one of them.
When Bonnie Bakley became pregnant, no one was really sure whose baby it was.
If you like what you're hearing, check out The Dark Side of Hollywood on Reel's channel. You'll find real stories of celebrity icons whose lives were cut short on autopsy and others whose lives were changed forever by fame. Reel's is also your go-to for real crime and chilling views into the minds of serial killers. Find Reel's on your TV at Reel's.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen and enter your zip code to find Reel's in your area.
Detective Ron Ito has a new high-profile case on his hands. Hollywood actor Robert Blake, who went from child star to starring in over 70 movies, is at the center of a murder investigation. But the murder victim is not as innocent as most. Bonnie Lee Bakley is behind a lucrative Lonely Hearts scam operation.
What Bonnie did was heartbreaking. There were so many old men, lonely men, who just wanted a companion. And they'd sign away, you know, their finances, life insurance. And then, boom, she was gone.
Even more troubling, investigators learn that Bonnie is in a love triangle with two dangerous men. Marlon Brando's son, ex-con Christian Brando. And famed tough guy actor, Robert Blake. Blake is 15 years older than Christian Brando. But he has one thing young Brando doesn't.
Christian Brando didn't have money. Robert Blake was worth $8 million, and she checked it out. So this was the smart move on her part. I mean, this woman did nothing because she loved somebody. This woman was never led by her heart.
But even after Bonnie seduces Blake, she still sleeps in Brando's bed.
So she was seeing Christian Brando and Robert Blake at the same time. Bonnie wanted to become pregnant, but she did not tell Blake about Christian Brando or Christian Brando about Blake. And she thought, well, it'll work out with one of them.
In 1999, Bonnie gets her wish.
When Bonnie Bakley became pregnant, no one was really sure whose baby it was.
And 9 months later, when the baby girl arrives, Bonnie names her Shannon Christian Brando.
Mr. Blake believed that the baby was his, and he wanted DNA testing.
After a paternity test, she renames the girl Rosie Blake.
I did find out about Bonnie telling Brando that it was his baby, telling Blake that it was his baby. She stopped saying that to Brando pretty quick.
Christian Brando believed that this baby, Shannon Christian Brando, was his child. So he was duped. So he was not only angry that Bonnie left him, but was this his child? So that would make someone very unstable.
You're jerking me around, Bonnie.
Did Brando turn on Bonnie? Detective Ito has to consider every possible suspect. Christian has a history of extreme violence.
Mr. Brando had a recurring drug problem, and he was emotionally unstable. He had already been to California State Prison for manslaughter. He had been convicted of shooting his sister's boyfriend.
Detective Ito finds evidence that Brando's anger towards Bonnie might have boiled over.
We recovered several cassette recordings from Bonnie's living quarters. That was one of the tapes that included Christian Brando's phone conversation with Bonnie.
Listen to me. You're gaming me and you're gaming Blake.
He was recorded as saying words to the effect, you're gaming me, you're gaming Blake. Okay. Someday somebody's going to put a bullet in your head. That was very explicit. It was a direct, clear threat that established a motive for he, Christian Brando, to commit murder.
We knew about his criminal record. We knew about the manslaughter he had over here in L.A. So we knew that he was a person that could pull the trigger and kill somebody.
He was threatening, and he had a history of violence.
Did Bonnie Bakley drive Christian Brando to murder?
He was a very good suspect in the murder of Bonnie Bakley.
The LAPD looks at Brando as a suspect, but Ito's investigation hits a wall. Brando has an alibi.
We're able to interview enough witnesses and people that had seen him in Washington, and he never left his house during that time.
Brando is struck from the list of suspects, and Ito is no closer to pinpointing the murderer. Given Bonnie Bakley's past, the killer could be one of hundreds of men she has duped.
We kept getting so much information that she had been defrauding elderly men in a lonely heart scam throughout America that it was quite clear to us that there could have been numerous people who were angry enough to want to kill her.
Detective Ito needs physical evidence to connect a suspect to the case. Days after the murder, Ito finds what he needs.
There was a dumpster in front of the car at the crime scene. We eventually went through that dumpster, and we found a Walther P-38 9mm, which is the same caliber as the murder weapon. Then we had the gun ballistically tested. It made a match that was the murder weapon.
Ito thinks the killer threw the murder weapon in the dumpster after the shooting. But there's a problem. The gun is covered in oil, and no fingerprints can be lifted.
The suspect may have put oil on that gun before he dumped it. And because we did find some oil containers nearby. Covering a gun with motor oil could destroy fingerprints.
Ito tries to trace the gun's serial number, but the gun is so old it isn't even registered.
We couldn't tie the gun to anybody by record. We could not say that any particular person had that gun or was the owner of the gun.
Ito still can't prove who pulled the trigger, and the world is watching.
We want LAPD to investigate Robert Blake, because the more they investigate, they'll find out he didn't do it. Now, it's appropriate for them to investigate him and everyone else.
The criticism the media will give us is, hey, did they make a mistake here? Did they make a mistake there? And why aren't they solving this case?
Detectives dig harder. Ito's team took Blake's clothing after the murder.
He was allowed to go home and change his clothes, and a detective took his clothes. And we later had it analyzed.
Lab technicians find the telltale sign of a gunshot.
And the amount of gunshot residue was left. So we were able to say there was some on the boots and pants.
Robert Blake's actions after the murder remain suspect. And now gunpowder residue is found on his shirt.
So we thought all this was kind of strange.
But Blake has an explanation.
He said he had shot and qualified at a local pistol range, and he was wearing the same clothes, and the gunshot residue was transferred.
It was proven that the minute amount of gunshot residue on Mr. Blake was consistent with anyone who owns a handgun, and it was proven that whoever fired that gun would have had much larger quantities of gunshot residue on them.
Gunshot residue is a dead end. So Ito talks to people at the restaurant where Blake took Bonnie before the murder.
Mr. Blake and Ms. Bakley had dinner at his favorite restaurant, Vitello's, in Studio City, California. They parked about a block and a half away.
What was different was that Mr. Blake parked so far away, and he usually parks in a parking lot. The restaurant was not that full. There was plenty of space in a parking lot, but then he chose to park a block and a half away in a darker area of the street with a dumpster that's blocking view of his car. So that adds to the mystery.
Investigators narrow their focus.
According to his story, he goes back to the restaurant, recovers his gun, comes back to the car, and finds Bonnie in that condition.
But Ito finds a hole in Blake's story.
The owners of the restaurant, they never saw him come back for the gun. The owner saw him in there eating. And then next time he saw him was when he was there asking for help for his wife. Mr. Blake had no alibi.
Blake may have no alibi, but did he have motive? Ito soon learns that Bonnie and Robert Blake began as lovers, but became sworn enemies.
This is the fatal moment in Bonnie's life.
In a dangerous game of cat and mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner. My government name. Check it out. I host a show called the Big Brother Jake Podcast, and I've taken my talents to the biggest and baddest platform on the planet. That's right, baby. Podcast One. My show is unique as I talk about everything. Life, sports, entertainment, being a single dad juggling several jobs. I'm a hot mess, but it's damn entertaining. Subscribe and review now on Apple Podcasts and listen on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four days after the murder of Bonnie Lee Bakley, news of the mysterious murder makes international headlines, and the media has former Beretta actor Robert Blake on the run.
Robert Blake was last seen running into the back door of his Studio City ranch after police questioned him when his wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley, was found murdered, shot at point-blank range in her car.
Weeks into the investigation, LAPD lead detective Ron Ito still can't prove who murdered Blake's con artist wife, Bonnie Bakley. But then a new witness comes forward, the victim's sister, Marjorie Bakley, and her story has Ito intrigued.
Marjorie was Bonnie's sister. Very close. They were close. They were friends. They talked all the time.
Everything that happened to Bonnie, she called Marjorie to tell her. I mean, she called Marjorie the night she first had sex with Blake. Blake met Bonnie at a party at a restaurant. It was a birthday party for a friend of his. She came with some low-level Hollywood guy, and she took one look at Robert Blake and was right next to his side. Bonnie Bakley was the predator, and Robert Blake was the target. Bonnie also told Blake all about her scams, because she figured he's a dangerous guy and he's going to like a dangerous woman. So he knew up front what she was doing, how she was scamming men all over the country. Soon they were laughing and talking. He was driving her home, and before they got to her hotel, they'd taken their clothes off. She and Robert Blake, they were having, like, intimate sex in the car. This is how hot and heavy this relationship started out as. She gave him her phone number. And then she waited, because she said to herself, a movie star should chase you. You should not chase a movie star. So Bonnie is living in Arkansas, and she ran a credit report on Blake. And at that time, he was worth $8 million. So she thought, this is great. He's a movie star, and he's rich. Despite Blake's misgivings, he did call her a week later. He called Bonnie, and they started to see each other. Once Blake called Bonnie, she was here in Los Angeles and back and forth from Arkansas, where they were intimate. She was getting to know him. Bonnie and Blake also identified with each other because they had both had troubled childhoods. He was physically abused by his father, and she had been sexually abused by her father. So there was a common bond between them from their childhood. They got each other.
If Blake begins to fall for Bonnie, everything changes when she confesses she's also sleeping with Christian Brando.
Blake realized he'd been hustled. Bonnie was pregnant. The ultimate hustle.
Marjorie tells Ido that's when Blake got dangerous.
Marjorie had a lot of concerns about Mr. Blake and things happening to her that was unusual.
According to Marjorie, a custody battle broke out between Blake and Bonnie. As the months pass, it becomes increasingly fierce. Bonnie is raising the baby in Arkansas, but Blake wants to be with his daughter in Los Angeles.
Bonnie had the baby in Arkansas, but she was not allowed to leave the state because she was on probation. But she violated probation and came to Los Angeles to show Robert Blake his daughter. He was so nice. He had a nursery. He had a nanny. And she just felt, wow, he has changed. This child has changed my relationship with Robert Blake. And then they left the child with the nanny, and he said, let's go out to lunch. And she felt very loved, and she felt very appreciated. They're having this beautiful lunch. Suddenly, two detectives show up and say, you violated your probation, and you have to go back immediately. And she says, what about my baby? And they say, no, there's no time for that. They took her to the airport.
And she had to leave and left her baby and never was able to get her back.
But Bonnie soon discovers that this time, Robert Blake hustled her.
It turns out that Robert Blake had done the whole thing, hired the actors, and effectively had kidnapped his own child.
Marjorie told me about this kidnapping scheme. He got somebody to pose as a probation agent. The guy who escorted Bonnie out was not a probation officer. He was a private investigator.
Robert Blake was a great actor. He knew how to act. And this was a scene from a movie. He was acting. His friends were acting as the detectives or cops. Everything was acting.
Blake's theatrics pay off. He sends Bonnie back to Arkansas and kidnaps little Rosie.
What was important to Mr. Blake wasn't Bonnie. It was the baby. Mr. Blake wanted custody of Rosie and didn't want Bonnie.
But Bonnie strikes back. Detectives learn that after the incident, her family hired an attorney. They accuse Blake of kidnapping and demand child support. Bonnie threatens Blake with a lawsuit. but Blake makes an unexpected move.
In the course of my investigation, I realized he was doing just about anything he can, legally and not so legally, to get Rosie.
Blake talked to his friends about this and realized that it would be much easier to get custody of Rosie if he and Bonnie were married. And that's what he did.
Robert Blake marries Bonnie Bakley in a simple ceremony in November of 2000. It's his second marriage and her 11th.
In her mind, this is it. She is married to a wealthy celebrity. It's the beginning of a great life. Whatever she thought in her imagination was going to happen wasn't going to happen because Blake turned on her immediately after the wedding.
Bonnie sleeps in a hotel cot on their wedding night. Robert takes the bed, and their relationship only sours from there.
Blake lived in the house, and Bonnie lived in the house in back above the workout studio. So this was a problem. They're fighting, and they're fighting a lot over when to see the baby. She can't see the baby alone. So this isn't a marriage. Bonnie wanted to kidnap her child. Just as Blake had kidnapped Rosie, she now wanted to kidnap Rosie and take her back to Arkansas. And this is the turning point. This is the fatal moment in Bonnie's life. Because Bonnie is a person who talks on the phone. And she talked to her sister Marjorie for 10 hours. And it was all about this plot to kidnap Rosie.
You hear the threats.
But Bonnie is afraid Blake is onto her plan.
Bonnie believed that her phone was tapped. And her sister believed that she was going to be killed because she wants to take the baby.
I'm going to get out of here. Can you hear me? He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me.
Ito goes through hours of Bonnie's taped phone calls and boxes of letters. They confirm Marjorie's story. Bonnie believed her husband, Robert Blake, was out to kill her. But Marjorie isn't the only witness who comes forward and fingers Blake.
He was a character. Nice guy, very colorful, had a story to tell. Interesting.
But who exactly is this mystery man? And why should Detective Ito believe him? It's the summer of 2001, and former tough guy actor Robert Blake is under investigation for the murder of his wife, seductive con artist Bonnie Lee Bakley. According to the victim's sister, Marjorie, Bonnie and Blake were at war over their one-year-old baby, Rosie.
Marjorie had a lot of concerns about Mr. Blake.
According to Marjorie, Bonnie said to her that day that she thought Robert Blake was going to kill her.
Then stuntman Gary McClarty comes calling.
Nice guy, very colorful, had a story to tell. Interesting.
Gary McClarty is a professional stuntman and Robert Blake's friend.
Gary McClarty was a character. He had shot somebody before, and he had a drug habit in a past. He was not your regular, everyday Mr. Nice Guy. Believe me, I'm telling you the truth. So we did have to look at him very carefully.
McClarty!
McClarty tells Ito he and Robert Blake had a curious conversation.
His story was that Mr. Blake tried to hire him to kill Bonnie.
The price he offered was $10,000 to get rid of his problem. The problem was Bonnie. And at some point, he gave McClarty a gun in a plastic bag.
McClarty tells police just how far Blake was willing to go to get custody of his daughter.
Blake told McClarty how he should kill her. He gave examples of how it could be done. One of the examples was that he could shoot her when they leave the restaurant. And I remember the words he said, too. He says, and then you could do it that way, too.
Ito digs up evidence that confirms the story. He finds prepaid phone cards Blake used exclusively to call McClarty. And McClarty isn't the only one that Blake approaches.
Gary McClarty was one of three or four stuntmen that Robert Blake approached. According to them, offered them money to kill his wife.
It's all circumstantial evidence against Blake, but it's stacking up. After an 11-month investigation, Detective Ron Ito makes his case to the DA.
We had enough evidence at that time. We requested authorization from the chief to arrest Mr. Blake. He says, hey, let's do it.
Robert Blake was one of the most successful actors in America. Now he's under siege in his own home.
The media knew that Blake was going to be arrested. They were there before the cops were there. So if he wanted to leave, there was no escaping.
Detective Ron Ito arrives at Blake's front door.
When I got to the house, I met Mr. Blake, and I told him that I had an arrest warrant for the murder of his wife.
Here he comes. Here he comes right now.
There were helicopters following the car. It was exactly like O.J. You know, here it was, a huge story. Dozens and dozens of media coverage at the house, following him, and at the jail.
We believe the motive is that Robert Blake had contempt for Bonnie Bakley and felt that he was trapped in a marriage that he wanted no part of.
But Blake won't spend long in holding. He gets out on bail for $1.5 million and virtually disappears. Blake is placed on house arrest. For 2.5 years, he hides out at his Studio City ranch with a police monitor on his ankle. On December 20th, 2004, Blake's case finally goes to trial. He's charged with one count of murder and two counts of solicitation of murder. If convicted, he'll spend the rest of his life in prison.
So he walked into the courtroom, this tiny, old, white-haired man. He was not Beretta. He was not a movie star. He was an old, white-haired man. Now, how could that old, white-haired man have done this? I mean, whether it was a creation, an act, but boy, when he walked in that courtroom, all sympathy went to him.
Prosecutors argue that when Robert Blake took his wife Bonnie out for dinner, he set in motion his plan to kill her.
I think I know what happened. This case evolves around Blake wanting to get rid of Bonnie. To the point that he wants to just get rid of her out of his life and take Rosie. He solicited these hitmen to do his job. They all refused. He was getting desperate. Nobody else would do it for him. So he was out of choices. He was going to play it out, and he did it himself.
Damn.
He doesn't go back to Vitello's restaurant, like he told us. What he does is he most likely had that gun hidden somewhere in the car, under the seat, maybe, in the driver's seat. Goes around to the passenger side.
What are you doing?
And shoots her twice. And takes the gun and throws it in the dumpster.
Gary McCarty and some of the other stuntmen said that this was a scenario Blake had outlined. Go to Vitello's, leave the car somewhere. I'll go back and she'll be shot.
Blake's high-powered defense team fights back. They argue the stuntmen are unreliable witnesses, the forensic evidence weak.
Our position was that the stuntmen who claimed they were solicited were making up this story. Mr. McLarty had a history of serious drug abuse, that he was delusional, that he hallucinated, that he probably wanted attention, that he wanted to be in the middle of this high-profile case, that he thought it might resurrect his career. And we argued that he was obsessed with the case and not telling the truth. And they believed that their ducks were in a row. In the process, I believe they deluded themselves. I think they wanted a high-profile win after the disastrous O.J. Simpson case. It was proven that Mr. Blake's handgun was not the murder weapon. It was proven that the murder weapon was a second gun that nobody could connect with Robert Blake, and they convinced themselves that this man was guilty, and he wasn't guilty at all.
On March 4th, after a 2.5-month trial, the prosecution and the defense rest, and the jury retires to determine a celebrity's fate.
celebrities are like, you know, royalty. Robert Blake was a celebrity that people loved. They didn't want to put him in jail.
After 9 days of deliberation, Robert Blake is found innocent.
The jury foreman in the Robert Blake murder trial says jurors found that the evidence against him was flimsy and based on unreliable people. The jury found Blake not guilty Wednesday of charges that he killed his wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley. After hearing the verdict, Blake hugged his attorney and began sobbing.
Blake is a free man, but his legal ordeal aged him and cost him millions. Months later, Bonnie Bakley's family sues Blake, and this time the court finds him civilly liable for her death. The verdict bankrupts Robert Blake. He hasn't landed a major acting role since Bonnie's murder.
I think it is widely believed that Blake had something to do with Bonnie's death. We still don't know who pulled the trigger. The case is legally unsolved, but for many people, it was solved years ago.
Justice was not served in this case. I believe that Mr. Blake should have been convicted for murdering his wife.
Blake may have eluded criminal conviction, but in the court of public opinion, he remains suspect.
Hollywood Homicide Uncovered comes from the Dark Hollywood Collection at Reels Channel. To get more like this when you watch TV, go to Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Check the top of your screen and enter your zip code to find us on your system. You'll also find extras from the latest real crime programs that are only on Reels. Find Hollywood Homicide Uncovered and its companions on Roku and Fire TV, too.